filling the space completely. I think we're going to need a new venue next year, which is very exciting to see, so I appreciate that. In case you don't know me, I'm Julia Sedlock. I am wearing two hats tonight. Unfortunately, I don't have my Philmont Rotary Club hat with me, but I'm a member of Philmont Rotary, and I'm also a co-founder and member of PCAN, which is Philmont Community Action Neighbors. Deborah Gitterman is co-founder as well. And I wanted to thank my other co-sponsors. Toby Farley is not here this evening, but she did help out with organizing publicity and lending us the library's coffee percolator and their collection of cups, paper cups. And I also want to introduce Carol Armstrong, who's president of the Philmont Rotary Club. She's here tonight. We co-sponsored the same event last year, and it's always great to work with Carol and participate in the events that I do with her in Rotary, and then also as co-sponsor in PCAM. I want to acknowledge the people who helped the fantastic spread. Second year in a row, we've had a really great selection of goodies over by the table. Carolyn Stern, I don't even know where you are. I saw you a minute ago. Lori and Tim Smith over there, and Carol and Jack Armstrong. They're really organizing with me. It really helps me to not have to think about any of that. And I also have to thank, they contacted McNairn's, Gabriel's, Vanderbilt Lakeside, and Hawthorne Valley Farm Store to contribute items that are included on that table. And then also thanks to anybody who brought, some people also contributed some baked goods as well. So thank you to those of you who did. And then of course, I have to thank our lovely candidates seated here in front of you. They will soon be introducing themselves, so I will call them out by name when we do that. And I also just need to thank everybody again for showing up and participating in this process, because really this whole thing is about getting people to be excited and engaged in the political process of local government. So I'm just going to read a little introduction. Last year, I think I went off the cuff. This year, I decided to write something, so bear with me. As I said last year when I introduced this event, the strength and power of the village election is that it is free of the lines and boundaries that typically burden our political process at every other level of government. So even more though, the enactment of village government is, at this scale, one that to me embodies what the democratic process is really about. No big money, no lobbyists, not much power or glory, guys, sorry. But rather a process composed of normal everyday citizens who are willing to give their time for a modest compensation to do work that they believe will be in the best interest of their hometown and neighbors, all of us. And that can be said for each one of the candidates up here today. So that's what this gathering is about tonight. It's a conversation among neighbors with the goal of learning more about a group of individuals who are all asking for the privilege to serve their community. There may be some points of disagreement to merit debate. You may catch a whiff of competition in the air, but all of this is in good fun and among neighbors who have to face each other tomorrow at the post office or crossing the street or getting gas at Cumbie. So I have the utmost faith that we can all keep this real but also keep it civil. And with that said, I'm going to give it over to the candidates. So we're going to start with the trustee, the candidates for trustee, and then hear from the candidates for mayor. They'll each have 2 or 3 minutes to make a brief introductory statement about who they are, what their background is, what their interests are. So I'll start with Larry.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank the hosts tonight, PCAN and the Philmont Rotary, for sponsoring this. We don't usually get this many people at a village board meeting, so this is a pretty good crowd for us. A little bit about me. I'm a lifelong resident of Philmont, born and bred. I'll be 60 in March, and I've lived all 60 years in the village, good, bad, or indifferent. Resident of your local fire department, Philmont Fire Company. I'm a certified first responder. We run EMS calls in the village. My wife Maria is your nurse for Dr. Belargin. My kids all went through Taconic Hills, and I graduated from Taconic Hills quite a few years ago. I have a bachelor's degree in environmental science from the College of Environmental Science and Forestry in Syracuse. I've been a village trustee. I served probably 6 years in the 90s, and maybe for the last 6 years, 8 years now, going on the village. So I've been here a while. I'm loyal. Pretty much everybody knows who I am or my family, so there's no secrets, and I got nothing to hide. Thank you.
Okay. I'm Doug Proper. Thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation to this forum and everyone's interest in our village. This is really a good turnout, like you mentioned. I've lived on Maple Avenue for the past 35 years, so I'm a newcomer to the village. I retired from teaching at Taconic Hills in 2011, so right now I have extra time where I can continue working for the village. I have the time and the energy to continue doing that. Previously, before coming to Taconic Hills in 1984, I taught in Virginia. I taught in public schools. I taught on board Navy ships as a civilian instructor. I taught in the community colleges. I taught in shipyards. I taught at Fort Eustis, and so I was doing lots of different jobs for quite a few years. I have my bachelor's and my master's from Oswego State. I was raised in the North Country in a small town very similar to Philmont. So when we were looking for a place to live in this area after I was hired at Taconic Hills, we were looking for a small town. And immediately I felt comfortable here. We raised our kids here. Both Zach and Jess, had a tough time because their dad was in school. And that he could really watch them. But I was raised the same way. My father was a teacher in my school up in the North Country. My son Zach is a teacher in Connecticut. And my daughter Jess lives on Summit Street. She's an artist. Actually, she was voted best artist and best bartender in Columbia County in 1 year. I'm an active member of the fire company with Larry. I'm the assistant treasurer of the fire company as well, a member of the Philmont Rod and Gun Club. I belong to several car clubs, right, Ozzy? He always gets my dues. I belong to many boat and motorcycle type groups as well. I'm a New York State safe boating instructor. I recently earned my Tier 3 emergency management certification from Homeland Security. It's been my honor to serve as the trustee for about 17 years now. Before that, I was on the zoning board in the 1990s. I want to point out that I think we have an excellent village board. We solve problems proactively. We do not react to crises. You've noticed that Philmont is seldom in the newspaper, and there's a reason for that. It's because of good planning, and this is really not about individual accomplishments. It's a shared responsibility, and I look forward to playing an active role in the future and continuing with this process to change Philmont positively. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name's Keith Iverson. My family and I moved to Columbia County in 2015, and we bought our first home in Philmont in 2016, and then welcomed our daughter Inga to Philmont, who's a native Philmonter, in December of that year. Before moving to Philmont, I worked like Doug in education. I was a researcher and teacher of media and environmental history at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. I have a bachelor's degree in philosophy from Scheimer College in Chicago, where I served on the college's board from 2009 to 2010, leading the college through a transition in leadership. I also have a master's degree in film and museum practices from the University of Edinburgh. When we moved to Columbia County, I decided to use none of that education and to try to start a farm. Lauren and I realized the Columbia County was a place we wanted to put down roots and start our family. And when our daughter came on the horizon, we went looking for the cheapest house we could find, and it was in Philmont. And it was real serendipity. We've been able to spend time putting in work on our house, putting in work making friends, building community with our neighbors, volunteering in the village. You might have seen me jackhammering out at the Nancy Brousseau Memorial Park over the summer, or putting in the gardens there. I don't have the kind of deep Philmont lineage and deep Philmont roots the current trustees have, and that's one of the reasons why I'm running for the board. I think that I can bring a fresh set of perspectives and represent some of the changes that are already happening in Philmont. And just as an example I can give of how I might be well positioned to represent the village. Like me, Philmont is, demographically speaking, comparatively speaking, a young town. Folks in the median age in Philmont is 39 years old, compared to 45 for the county at large. Like me, almost half of the households in Philmont are households with young children under the age of 18. So I'd like to be a voice on the board that can represent young families, people with kids, newcomers to Philmont. There's a lot of them, and we need to find ways to start including folks like that and marshaling the volunteer energy and the skills they're bringing into the village. I'm also running because, like me, Philmont isn't rich. Our per capita income in the village is $10,000 less than the per capita income for the county at large. 51% of the housing units in the village are renter occupied. They don't belong to homeowners. And as someone who very recently managed to just barely swing into the class of homeowners, I know how hard it is to manage that. And I'd like to see the village working not only to make homeownership a more accessible goal for villagers, but to be a proactive advocate for folks who are renting. I've spent too much of my adult life renting and knowing what it's like to have a pipe burst or a radiator not working and no landlord picking up the phone. So I would like to see the board have some representation for everyone in Philmont, not just homeowners, not just property owners, for everybody in Philmont. And I don't know if that's a sign I've been talking about so long. I can say that I'd really like to bring a fresh set of perspectives and a voice to maybe historically underrepresented part of the village.
You can.
Okay. I'm Robin Andrews, and I'm your candidate for mayor. I'm so grateful to having so many of you here and so many faces that I'm sure Skip and I both know. Because I've been in the village here for 20 years, and I've had the honor of serving not only as a village trustee in the past, but also as the Crawford County Supervisor and as a county representative for the board on the Board of Supervisors. So it's an interesting position to be in because Skip and I have known each other a long time. We've worked together for a long time. We're friendly, and I have the utmost respect for Skip and the work that he and the village trustees have done. And yet, I've also want to get, and looking forward to how we can, I can get more involved again and pull some of that, those connections and the expertise that I gained back into the village. And, there's no big issues. As we said, the village is running really well. And yet there are really new things happening, new initiatives. And Skip and I do things slightly differently. So I would like to have a chance to offer what I would like to offer, which I have some different skill sets. I work as a magazine publishing consultant. I do all my work on the computer, so I'm very technology savvy, use a lot of that to make my work easier. I have the financial expertise because I was the fiscal officer for the town. So municipal budgets are actually a little different than your everyday budget. So I really think that there's some opportunities to look at that in a more proactive way. And like I said, just connecting to our larger community. I serve as the on the Healthcare Consortium Board. I'm the president, which is the access to health within the county, as well as I'm on the Land Conservancy, the Columbia Land Conservancy Board. So, you know, through all those, I think that there's some synergies that we can create that are quite exciting. And a lot of you know me, and part of what I bring to the table is I'm very proactive. I see a problem and I go, ooh, what can we do? And I get excited about that. I actually like that opportunity to see what's possible. And so whether that's creating the sidewalk, renovation plan, and we get a plan all together and we make proactively figure out what that is, or that's proactively making sure that we get as many people as possible signed up for email lists or have a way to communicate with them where there's issues, or whether that's taking the initiatives from the BOA, which, the Village of Philmont opportunity, when it says who should be the lead, it's the Village of Philmont for so much of the BOA, which is such an exciting community project, but the village could take more initiative to create, to give some support for that. So I'm also just wanting to have, with the utmost respect to Chris, to Skip, my sweetie, right? to offer some fresh opportunities and fresh eyes on things.
Thanks. Next. I have a little bit of a problem here because Sally Baker always has 10 minutes and I'm only going to have 3. What is the deal with that? I get around on it. Well, I had to write down a lot of stuff because you guys are asking too many questions and for me to comprehend it all and working all day and all night. As you all know me, I'm Clarence Skipspeed. I am your mayor. I've been here a long life, 79 years. Philmont's where I was educated. I went to Philmont High School. I ended up my education in Aquamic. Probably a lot of you people don't even know where that is. I have 3 children, 2 boys and 1 daughter. I'm a member of the Philmont Rod and Gun Club, Community Day Committee, charter member of the Santa Claus Club, vice president of the Union Cemetery, past chief and of the Melville Fire Company. Now I'm a vice president, owner of family-operated Speed's Garage, and past co-owner of Skemmerhorn & Speed Incorporated, which is at 111 Main Street, now is currently Local 111. And no one could ever figure out why they put up Local 111. And I said, that's easy, because that's a physical address. I live at 11 Main Street. My other place of business was 111 Main Street. So, with that said, my 4 terms as trustee, 7 terms as mayor. I've got a lot of vast knowledge and demands of the village, answer all complaints. If someone has a complaint, I'll go to their house. If they have a problem, I'll go seek it out and find out what it is. 22 years of dedicated public service to Philmont. I look forward to another term in which we continue with a revitalization of our village. Particularly excited at the prospect of children swimming in our reservoir, if we ever get the stupid thing dredged out. The construction of a sidewalk on Church Street to the town park. We worked on that a couple years ago. Robin worked on to it. I talked to Dee Dee Barrett's people and stuff, and a grant is coming, going to finally be a reality. They're going to do the sidewalk, 6-inch water main down Church Street to the town park, so the town park has water. We're going to put drainage in, so all the kids are going to be safe walking down to the town park from Philmont, which I think is a great thing. But this time it's going to go through. So, residents and members of Melville Fire Company and Philmont Fire Company are working real hard with the town of Clarvick to consolidate both companies in a new building. This thing has been in the works for a year or two now. if it works out, then we're going to have new fire companies, poor fire company being squashed in underneath the village hall. We'll be able to have a large company now, or a large room to work with, and maybe we can get our police department in underneath the village, so they've got a place with a garage. Everything else is going on as planned. I have a great, great board. We get a lot of work done. I have a great secretary clerk. I have another secondary clerk. They do fabulous for me. If I have a question, I ask them. They research it, give me the information. I look like a real hero. So I'm looking forward to this chance to once again serve you. And thank you, Mayor of Philmont.
Thank you. Thanks, all of you. I'm going to hand it off to Deborah to start the questions, but first I'm just going to explain that we're going to have some time limits on asking questions and answering them for the candidates. So we're going to try to keep asking questions to 30 seconds and answering questions to 2 minutes per individual. So I'm going to, like, for the question asking, I'll tell you what, I'm going to, like, be pretty loud and vocal. I'll raise my hand, or I'll say, like, 25 seconds. To let you know that you should be wrapping it up. And for the candidates, I'll probably raise my hand and let you know at like a minute 30 or a minute 40 that you have to be wrapping answers up. So I, other than calling on audience members once Deborah asks her first question, I will be silent for the rest of the evening. Thank you.
Julie, it's actually hard to see you.
Yeah, you know what, I can be the, I'll be the, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Something like this.
Yeah. Thank
I'll
you.
Just, I'll just keep time.
Okay. So hi, I'm Deborah Gitterman, and so I'll just get us started here with questions. Something I am interested in is, I'd like to know what existing programming the village has for children, and what more do you think the village can do for young people?
Or do you want to take it?
And that's to everybody? Is that, and we can just go down the line?
Yeah, I mean, all these questions that we have, and, you know, audience members might have specific questions for individuals, but if you can, generally try to keep it as broad so that everybody can answer. And, you know, if it's from a existing trustee or mayor, it can be from the point of view of being in that position right now. If it's from one of the new candidates, it can be from the point of view of what they sort of imagine their contribution or, you know, ideas about that topic could be. So,
right. So like, yeah, so just to repeat the question, what more does do you think the village can do for the young people in addition to the existing programs, and what's the role, you know, what role can the village board play in that?
Well, for we have a great library, and we have a lot of programs there after school, in the evening, and I believe we are still a 5-star library, maybe down to a 4, but I think we can sell that better to the youth of the village. We also have a community center that runs programs up there, and that is probably a facility that we underutilize. We could definitely offer certain programs up there, maybe fishing or even a basketball contest. I know as a kid, we had the ball field, and there was a youth program there, and then we went up to the reservoir and actually had swimming lessons and swam, and the community center was a beach house. Hopefully, with the funding from the BOA grant, we can implement some of those programs back in. Current funding situations right now, we're very limited. I don't know if everybody's aware of our budget restrictions. We get to raise the budget about 0.1% a year, and that is usually chewed up by DPW wages increases and insurance increases, and that doesn't leave much room for too much of anything. So in order for those programs to go, it's going to have to probably come from this room. Ideas, suggestions, community getting together. What can we do? What can't we do? What can we afford? I wish we still had the Claire Hardy Youth Center, but we don't. So.
Well, 5 years ago, we had almost nothing going on at the community center. We did hire a director, and things have really been improving. We are running, on average, because community center is one of the liaison committees that I work on, we're running around 60 to 100 kids a week up at the community center. We just recently hired an assistant director, and she's been doing programming, which is excellent. The library does a great job for the youth. I'm sure there's still more that we can do in both of those areas. We also have a contribute to the Claverick Town Park program, so the kids have got a place to go in the summertime. So I'm feeling actually pretty good about what's been happening for the kids. It is hard to get kids out to do anything other than play with their phones and electronics. So. But we have been, I would say, fighting the good fight on that.
Well, I think some of the kind of official initiatives for youth have already been enumerated. I think that there's room for the village board to start taking the lead on developing some of the volunteer initiative and informal programming for youth that already exists in the village, whether it's $1 sandwiches, nutritious sandwiches that are going on at McNann's, or continuing to develop the enthusiasm for working on the town's public space. We saw from neighborhood kids as we were working on the Nancy Brousseau Park. There's folks in the village who have skills and resources and time to help out, and there are kids in the village who, when they see grown-ups around, willing to pay them a little bit of attention, show up and come out. I was just painting signs with kids on 100 Main Street just the other day who just wandered in the building. And I think if we can find ways to start to formalize some of the already existing wonderful energy in town into, even if they're ad hoc informal programs for kids, I think we'd be surprised at what we would see happening. And I think it would, in general, improve the quality of life in the village when you see kids out playing, enjoying, not, you know, being on video games. It makes the village feel alive, and I think there are easy, cheap ways to do that. It just involves a little bit of creativity, I think, being out, walking around.
Yes, and you know, we're speaking the same things to the community center has been doing an active job that is initiated through the village, the library, which has got a lot of great programs, and Doug also mentioned the Claverick Town Park, which has the 6-week program that's actually free. So one of the, and Heath is bringing up some great comments about initiatives that we can have around volunteer. The BOA mentions that we could do more around teens, which of course is has its own challenges and just in terms of you know, getting them out. One of my thoughts is there, beyond all that and beyond the recognition of all that, is that one of the challenges we have, and that I think everyone would agree with, is the communicating what's available and what's possible to make sure that everybody knows about that, the park program, or everybody knows what's happening at the community center. And I think that we can do some better work on some either legwork or technology to make sure that people are more informed about what's happening so that there's a more generation of that, as well as communicating with people about what would be helpful instead of us deciding like, oh, this would be a good idea. What would be really helpful or enjoyable for the kids to do?
Those are my thoughts. Okay. Well, as usual, by the time you get down to me, everybody used up all the good stuff. Currently, Julie Garanese is doing
it. We'll start with you next. Okay.
Currently, Julie Veronese is doing a wonderful job at the community center. It has numerous programs available for our youth. There is a lady that goes above and beyond the call of duty to make sure that the kids have something to do and everyone else has something to do. She's just a great person. It took us a while to get her to come up there, but a few phone calls and We think you're the greatest person in the world, and we finally got her back there. So Toby Farley and the library are also hosting numerous programs and activities for the children. The Clovert Park, again, has a summer program, which is well attended by our Philmont children. Hopefully, there will be more of them coming down there. We get that sidewalk in so they don't have to worry about getting hit by cars. Going forward, I'd like to see more of our youth involved in these programs. It's essential to provide our young people with safe, structured, and educational activities instead of playing with their telephones and their Facebook and everything else. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from members of the audience? Patrick?
Yeah, so I live on Summit Street, and the speed of cars going up that hill is just insane. So I think a great way to deal with it would be signage. And I just wanted to know from each one of you what you think of a little more signage for speeding, but also the concept of doing signs as you exit town. End of 30 mile an hour speed zone. When I went to the court, it was filled with people who at the top of the hill had basically, you know, they had forgotten. If we had a sign at the top of that hill that said end of 30 mile an hour speed limit, I think it would be a civilized thing. What do you think, Skip?
I think there again, I have talked to our police department, especially people going out of Main Street, going up past Pine Haven Home. It's 30 miles an hour until you get all the way up to the dentist office. There is no more signs when you're leaving the village of Philmont until you get past the dentist, then it goes to 40. And I told our police officer before, I says, don't sit there. Myself, you get up past all the village of Philmont, you get past the Philmont Terrace, you're going to start stepping onto it. What else is there? Pine Haven Home is 50 or 100 feet off the road. The old people aren't going to be out in the road running their wheelchairs or nothing. So why are you sitting here? Please don't do that. Signage, I think signage would probably help, but people are going to be people. Summit Street, I've talked to our guys again, and Summit Street, they said they wanted to set near the top. We have no place for them to park on these Summit Heights, a little turnoff at Summit Heights. And to get part-time police officers to be up there, we can't get them there during the day. And that's probably when most of the infractions are. So we're working on it. If anybody's got any ideas, please let me know. Because I can't do it on my own. I'm not here all day long. I'm not up and down the streets. So I need all the eyes. So if you call me, tell me, I can do something about it. Whether it's a complaint, you want it done, you don't want it done, call me, that's all. Yes?
Those street signs, do they have to be approved by the state?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so
we can't lower Main Street. I think 30 miles an hour through Main Street in the business district is too fast. I do 20 and I'm getting pushed. And at 20 miles an hour, some kid runs out, you got a chance to stop it. 30, you don't.
Okay.
So.
Did you want us to go down the?
What do you think? Yeah.
I mean, if there's anything required to add. Yeah. Well, just to Ozzy's point, the 217 is a state highway, so you have to. If there's any signage, Patrick, you do have to get it approved through the state, and they're actually quite reticent to go. I mean, even 30, they get a little. They're sort of sometimes like that, you know. So we're very fortunate that we have 30 already. And one of the things that actually slows down traffic, because the police can write tickets, but that doesn't actually slow down the traffic, is to do more sort of streetscaping so that there can be, so that you have the sense that you're going through a neighborhood, and that's actually also what helps slow down the traffic. So those are things that we could look at to consider doing to help slow down the traffic. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I'm all for whatever would create a more pedestrian-friendly atmosphere and fabric in the village, whether that's signage or other more creative streetscaping techniques. But slowing down the cars is great by me.
We need to remember that we cannot post lower than 30 miles an hour by state law. And one example of what I've tried to do would be like Railroad Avenue. People were complaining people were going too fast. It's a narrow street. It has, you know, the humps, limited visibility. So we can put up cautionary signs. And on that street, we put speed limit 15, narrow road. Now, that is not enforceable, but it's legal to put that type of a sign up. So if people have an idea of where a cautionary sign would be helpful, we can do that. But we can't post lower than 30.
Well, I live on Summer Street, and I validate what you say. But I think it's pretty much on any street on the village, and probably most of the people that are doing that are the village residents. So maybe we need to have a little awareness amongst ourselves that, you know what, if you're 5 minutes late, it's okay. You know, I think you can put up all the signs you want, but that's not going to make people slow down. I really don't. I think writing the tickets or, unfortunately, I've been on too many EMS calls, accidents, and have people slow down for a little while. But that's a tough one. People have been speeding ever since the car was invented. So.
In view of the significant portion of residents being renters, and in view of the dilapidated condition of some of the rental units, what initiatives would each of you propose in policies or ordinances to address this problem of substandard housing, in addition to what already exists? How should the trustees go about this problem?
On your end?
Sure. Well, we can actually
start in the middle. I can start?
Yeah.
I think one thing we cannot do is legislate, you know, cleanliness and maintenance. But we can, if you look at the images that Sally Baker has online of the way the village looked, say, in 1985 versus the way it looks today, there's already been a huge change. And I think Sally's here, and we should thank her for all of the stuff that she has done for the village. She is here. So I think we should continue with those kind of initiatives, and I would hope that people would start just out of the goodness of their heart. I know this is asking a lot, but just taking more pride in their own property and taking care of it. And maybe as a village, we could also make people aware of some of the grants and things that are out there for people who don't have a lot of money put into their house. I know, you know, my house is old and it always needs paint, and the only way I can do it is like do a fifth of it a year, because I can't afford to paint that whole house. But I think that's about all that we can do. I would just hope that we continue with the positive progress and that people would start taking pride and in their work. And the other thing that we've done as a village board is about the taxes. We have gone after people, what, maybe 10 years ago? We had, I don't know, I can't remember the figures, 25 people on way back in taxes, and now I think we have one. So by doing that, maybe some of the people who are not taking care of their properties are going to have to sell them, and someone else who will take care of them will come in.
And we have asked our lawyer to give us some legislation too, and I think it was mentioned at a board meeting that currently right now the only houses that really get inspected on a good average are the rental units. When they get vacated, are supposed to be reinspected by the building inspector, and according to Kim, the only way we really know that is when she sees a fresh face come in and they buy in water, garbage stickers. I don't really know how to keep a better thumb on that. Like, somebody leaves at 1 o'clock in the middle of the night and the place gets vacated and the landlord has another person in there the next day. That's village law says that place needs to be inspected before, and everything comes up to code. What I would like to do is have every house inspected. And probably a lot of you in the room may not be in favor of that, but why not make sure that the houses are inspected up to code, your smoke alarms are up to code, your back porch is up to code, and I think that will prevent buildings from getting in distress and keeping a better housing stock. Just a note, since we're throwing out statistics here, the assessed value in the village has actually gone up the last couple of years, and that's hasn't happened in a long time. We've been doing this with assessed values. They're coming up. So to Doug's point, things are turning around. People are taking more pride in their homes, and that's kudos to everybody in the village. So keep up the good work there.
I think in terms of legislation, one thing it might be worth the board's time considering would be something looking at lead remediation in rental properties. Larger communities in New York, like Rochester, have begun programs that demand lead testing in rental units and demand that lead problems are remediated before they can be put on the market. I think that's one way to show that the village is serious about providing quality rental housing that also makes an immediate impact on the health of the people, especially the kids who wind up living in those buildings and have very few recourses to improving them. Another idea I think might be useful, and this doesn't relate specifically to renting, but would be for the village to have workshops for applying to funding that helps homeowners, low-income property owners, make a round of improvements to their homes, whether that's a workshop helping folks through the Columbia Opportunities application process, which isn't always easy, or whether it's finding the resources to have a part-time person in the village government who's able to pursue grant and funding opportunities specifically related to repairing the condition of the housing stock in the village. And then one last thing I'll say is that there is the exciting idea of land trusts and pursuing grants and funding to pursue municipal ownership of buildings that are currently dilapidated and bringing them back into some kind of useful state that's beneficial to the community. So I think there's a handful of directions that could be pursued that are some more, some less intensive in terms of the amount of work they would require on the part of the village.
The things that occur to me is that we do have the occupancy rule. It's already in place in the village, and as Doug mentioned, sometimes that's, or Larry, I'm sorry, Larry mentioned that sometimes those are hard to enforce. The building inspector is supposed to come to all apartments that have been vacated. So if they're, you know, looking for ways, in some ways, that we can strengthen our ability to enforce that, could be a possibility, whether that means that we create some forum for tenants to sign up and say, I live in an apartment building, and you know, so we know some of that, so that there can be an exchange about when they're leaving or moving. So that could be an option. And then the other piece is just that communication again and building relationships. We have a couple landlords who owned a lot of properties in Philmont, and to have stronger relationships with them so that we can work with them directly to figure out how where those misses are and what can be done about that, whether that's through some of the funding that happens. I mean that's, we've had improvements, as Doug said, because of the Main Street program and other opportunities like that we could use, and the, you know, whether that's the heating program or other.
Everybody was talking about houses that are a little bit on the downhill side, and that Sally Baker's team, my team, and that we've gone around the village of Philmont and made a list of all the people's houses that need work onto them, or should be worked onto, that are really not up to par. And that committee, we've sat and talked about it. You can talk, you can call the people up, you can talk to them, you can get them down to the village office and that, but you're not going to change them. The only way you're going to change them if it turns out to be a law or a ruling.
And I don't know how you're gonna make somebody that owns a house tell them, hey, you're gonna paint your house or else. You're not gonna be able to do that. I mean, it'd be great. It would be great. Most people in the village of Philmont have great interest in their homes. They want them to look good. But there we go back to our absentee landlords again. Between the absentee landlords and, I don't want to call them slumlords, but the people that just don't care and they want the money. If they have somebody in there that doesn't pay their bills or leaves the trash all over, we can call them up and tell them that you're going to have to do something with them. Next thing you know, they're out, somebody else is in. And it doesn't seem like the ones that commit are any better than the ones that leave. So I don't know how we can change that. How do we get people's mindset, it's respect for your neighbor. And I don't know how we're going to change that. I wish somebody would help me tell me that.
One other thing we've done recently is those back taxes that Doug talked about. When we do collect those, we have set up a fund to clean up some of the houses. There's one on Highland Avenue that we got rid of that was on the ground. It was a real hazard. So we have used some of that money to take and to start cleaning up some of those really bad houses. We don't want them getting in that condition. But.
It always comes down to money, because some of the things that we're talking about here are not within the scope of our budget. And we'd like to be able to do more, but I think we're doing about what we can right now. Like, and Skip was right, you know, it's hard to, you can't legislate and make laws and get people to clean their properties up. Certain things, yes. And if you tell us, if you see a problem, you know, even if it's just somebody with trash in their yard that is not being picked up. We've had people actually fill their backyards with trash. Yeah. Barbara knows. And, you know, we will get the building inspector. We have a new building inspector. He's excellent. And if things are brought to his attention, he'll take care of it.
A couple of you have alluded to some state grants as a means to improve the village. We know that in the years to come, we're looking at the potential for many state grants to revitalize parts of the village. And I'd like to hear from everybody in terms of, you know, how you see these state grants, maybe your criteria for, you know, accepting them. And related to that is, you know, sometimes you can take on more state grants if you have the capacity in your administration of the village to handle, you know, the administrative aspects of a grant. But I'm concerned about the technological abilities and access to records and stuff. It seems like it's very paper-based. And I'm wondering, you know, how you plan to address that in the years to come so that we can manage and support more grants, if that's what you want.
Can I answer in any order? Or would I like to pipe up first?
Well, I think we've been working on the Brownfield grant now for quite a few years. And I do agree with you, we are probably not prepared as a bigger city that has a lot of assets and funding to have full-time grant writers. And again, kudos to Sally for and everybody else who has been on that project. We've had huge support from the village residents, from the village board. Kim in the office, I know it's a workload on her to go get those records. So I 100% agree with you. We struggle with a project this size. This is a big project for a little village, and I think we're managing it pretty well. Again, do we put a line item in the budget for a grant writer? It's something we need to think about. Yes, no, maybe. What's our return on investment on that? I couldn't tell you, but I think it's something that we need to consider. I really do.
Larry, it was a recommendation in the comprehensive plan for a part-time grant writer.
Does anyone else